Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you allow us this privilege of coming into your presence to worship you this morning. We come together as your children, knowing that you have redeemed us and made us your children through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, as we come to bring you praise and glory and honor, we also come seeking to hear your voice speaking to us. We ask that you would do that now through your word in such a way that we would be comforted, that we'd find assurance from you, that we would be emboldened to serve you faithfully throughout all of our lives. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, this being Mother's Day, I have a different kind of mother story I want to share with you. Some of you may recall hearing me mention Ben Kwashi, the Anglican Archbishop in Jos, Nigeria. More than once, he and his wife have had their home invaded by armed terrorists seeking to scare them out of town. In 1987, their home and church were both burned down. In 2006, 40 people came to their home when Ben was out, but his wife Gloria was home. They beat her severely, leaving her half dead. 1 year later, in 2007, 30 people came, dragging Ben outside to kill him. Changing their mind, they took him back inside to kill him in his bedroom. Ben asked for time to pray, which they permitted. After praying for about 2 minutes, Ben realized Gloria was holding his hand. Their son came in the room to say the people had all left. Today, Ben and Gloria Kwashi are still living and serving the Lord in Jos, Nigeria. Mama Gloria, as she is known, has responded to the desperate need of orphaned children in their region by starting a school which currently has 300 students enrolled. In the current issue of Seed and Harvest magazine published by Trinity School for Ministry in Ambridge, Matthew Rucker has an article telling more about their ministry, and I brought it in so you could see a picture of Mama Gloria, a real person. This isn't a fictitious character, it's a real person. In addition to the school, Gloria has opened her own home to 47 of those children, adopting them and giving them the name Kwashi. She had come to learn, as she puts it, orphans do not first need food or clothes, but their primary need is parents. In her work she calls Reparenting, Gloria teaches the children that even their situations are not beyond the power of God. Encourage them to accept Jesus into their hearts, reminding them of the promises Jesus Christ makes for them. Mama Gloria tells of one child who left his home on an errand one day, only to return to find that Boko Haram had destroyed his entire village. After his adoption, it was about a year before the boy smiled, laughed, or played with the other children. Yet now, she adds, by the grace of God, he smiles and plays with other children and has accepted Jesus Christ into his life. Another child had been sent away from her family by her father, coming to the Kwashis with many wounds, both physical and spiritual. She found healing. She recently told Mama Gloria, "Before I came, I did not know I was a human being. But now I am happy to know that I am." As Mama Gloria says, the world is so in need of the love of Jesus Christ. We need to do all we can to bring Jesus to the lives of communities wherever we are. In her being Mama Gloria, she continues to help children come to know true life. What is known by Mama Gloria Kwashi and her husband Ben is what we hear from the Apostle John in today's second lesson. pointing to Jesus Christ as the eternal Son of God, John makes the clear affirmation that for all who believe in Jesus as the Son of God, who is their Savior, each one is given eternal life. That we can have confidence as Christians, knowing we do have life in the Son. It's an interesting way John goes about making the case. It's based on the testimony God has given, believing that testimony and receiving the life he gives to those who believe. John starts off by describing the testimony given by God regarding the person of Jesus. We heard it read beginning in verse 6. "This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not with the water only, but with the water and with the blood. It is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and the three are in agreement." And the whole congregation said, "Huh?" I'll be the first to concede. We hear that, it's like, we're kind of going, what's he saying? What's he getting at? Let me try and help us this morning understand that. For the history buffs, let me provide a little context that will help make sense of what John is saying here. We've previously heard about some of the false teachers in that region who were saying all kinds of weird things about Jesus and about being a Christian. We do know one particular false teacher was named Cerinthus. Cerinthus had a hard time accepting the idea of a suffering Messiah, and so came up with an elaborate explanation that sought to distinguish between Jesus the man and Christ the Messiah. How did he do that? Well, he postulated that Christ came down on the man Jesus at his baptism, but then left before his crucifixion. For Cerinthus, to associate the water of baptism with the Christ was okay, but not the blood of the cross. Essentially, it was a denial of the incarnation. It was the early stages of one of the heretical teachings which led to the church's later development of the Nicene Creed as a formal statement of Orthodox Christian faith. Well, in refutation of the false teaching of Cerinthus and others, John affirms the God-given testimony of the water and the blood, referring to both Jesus' baptism and his death on the cross. You all remember the descriptions that we have of all of this. At his baptism in the water of the Jordan River, the voice of God was heard affirming Jesus as God's beloved Son. At his death, God spoke in the fulfillment of divine prophecy regarding the shedding of his blood as an atonement for sin. As F.F. Bruce explains, "The one who died on the cross was as truly the Christ, the Son of God, as the one who was baptized in the Jordan." There is no distinction. And John continues, pointing out that in conjunction with the water and the blood, the Spirit also bears witness to Jesus as the Son of God. It was the Spirit descending on Jesus in the form of a dove at his baptism which bore witness to his identity as the Son of God. It was the Spirit who was bearing witness to Jesus as the Son of God on the cross, with the double fulfillment of the prophecy, with the soldier's spear piercing Jesus' side rather than his legs being broken. And it is the Spirit who bears witness to Jesus as the Son of God, opening our eyes to see the truth about Jesus. The Spirit of truth, bearing witness to the truth about Jesus, the Son of God. As others have pointed out, the reason there is agreement between the water and the blood and the Spirit is simply this. It is the truth of God who is behind it all. It demonstrates the abiding validity of God's historical witness to Jesus Christ. Well, in our own day, There are plenty of those who are glad to say all kinds of nice things about Jesus, but stop short of affirming his identity as the Son of God. Just as it was true when John wrote this, it is still true today. The clear claims of Christ and the clear testimony about him identify Jesus as the Son of God. John goes on to say, with that testimony given by God, we can respond by believing or not believing him. Continuing, verse 9, he writes, if we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For the testimony of God is this, that he has testified concerning his Son. The one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. You know, it would be one thing if John and the other disciples had just cooked up this stuff about Jesus on their own. At merely the human level, their thoughts and opinions would not necessarily carry any more weight than anyone else's. Which is part of why John makes the effort to demonstrate how God himself has borne witness to Jesus. That takes the question beyond a potential dispute between people to being a matter of whether each person believes God or makes God out to be a liar. I know, we hear that and we think, man, that's harsh. But think about it. If we refuse to accept what God says about Jesus, there's really no way around it. We are essentially saying we know better than God about who Jesus is and therefore the measure of what he has done for us. On the other hand, when we accept what God says, when we believe God, we find our understanding deepening as the Spirit writes the truth more indelibly on our hearts. No longer is it something we get from a Google search, but it becomes internalized, part of us. The point is straightforward. To believe and receive Jesus is to believe and receive God. To reject Jesus is to reject God. John then ends by pointing out his whole purpose in writing is so that we might believe this bottom line testimony and receive the consequential benefits. Verse 11, he continues, and the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This eternal life does include our future place in heaven, but it also includes our current place here and now. As we heard yesterday during the service for Faye Michener, our Christian hope looks forward with joyful anticipation of that place Jesus has prepared for us, our eternal home in the unimpeded presence and fellowship with God and with all believers through all of time. But that future hope is based on the present relationship we have with God now by virtue of what Jesus has done for us as our Savior. Believing in Jesus, we live now as redeemed children of God. We have fellowship with God even now with the attendant promise of his Holy Spirit abiding in us even now. That is the good news message we have embraced as Christians. Not that we are nicer than everyone else, not that we have made ourselves good enough for God, but that we have been saved by Jesus, the Son of God. Trusting in Jesus, the Son of God, as our Savior, we have confidence in our being made children of God. Not because we've earned it, but because he has made provision for us to receive it. He has redeemed us fully. He has reconciled us to God fully. And so through believing in Him, we are fully children of God. We are equipped to come before the throne of grace, to call on our Abba Father with the assurance of being welcomed by Him. That is because we have been given life in the Son. It is also the good news message we have to share with the world. To share what we know about Jesus with others is not offensive, it is merciful, offering salve to those wounded by their own sin or the sin of others. To share what we know about Jesus with others is not judgmental, it is gracious, offering the opportunity to receive God's gift of salvation. To share what we know about Jesus with others is not hateful, it is loving. That is because we are sharing with them the word of life. Just as John said when he started this letter, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life. On this Mother's Day, let us learn from Mama Gloria Kwashi. She has poured her life into addressing the needs of hurting children, finding ways to provide for their daily lives, but more significantly, introducing them to Jesus, the Son of God, who gives them eternal life. In this world, we are surrounded by hurting people, longing for something more in life, often feeling isolated and lonely like orphaned children. Whether we are mothers or fathers or aunts or uncles or brothers or sisters or whatever, we have the privilege of expanding the family of God by introducing people to Jesus who can make them children of God. To let them know they too can have life in the Son, if only they choose to believe and receive Jesus for who He is, the Son of God who has given Himself to be our Savior. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for Your mercy and grace and goodness, Your loving kindness shown to us by sending Your Son to redeem us, to be our Savior, to give us eternal life in knowing You and walking with You. Let that be a settled assurance in our hearts and minds today. And Father, with that confidence, let us share with others the good news that we have come to know that is true. It's true. Jesus, the Son of God, is our Savior. We pray this in His name. Amen.